Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
I've got Anna Gear with me, and Anna, like I said, amazing that you've written a book called Anna's Game Plan while pregnant, and then while you were a new mum. For the first time. We finished when Ronan was about 7 weeks old. But let's talk about the book, because I'm sure you've been approached to write books before, and I'm sure all anybody wants to hear is the story of four All-Ireland medals and all the rest. Or, okay, well, maybe now tell us about, you know, how sport got you. You just wanted to do something that encapsulates all of you, though, right?
Yeah, I did. Like, Dave, the book was probably swirling around in my head, I'd say, for the bones of a decade.
Right.
But I just never felt like the right time to write it. Mm. And then I suppose life experience, you know, like, you know, grief and, you know, becoming a mom and, you know, trying to navigate like the world and getting that
big
little bit older.
Big things.
It gave me perspective. And I started thinking, you know, now is the right time. Now I've got things that I want to share. Mm. Now I've got things that I like, skills, lessons that I've learned, that I've used to cope in my own life and deal with setbacks and deal with the inner critic and, you know, deal with the judgment of others and how to navigate social media and all of these things. Even like a changing body shape from a sportswoman to getting pregnant and the postpartum. It's like, these are things that I think can help people too.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big, you know, when everyone says, find your why. That was my why for writing the book. I genuinely wanted
the time was right,
to help
the experience
people.
Happened. You want to help people, yeah. But what I love about the book is it's not a kind of a shouty motivational tool only. You know, like you divide it into five parts, I suppose, of the book, right? And the very first one is acceptance. And what I love, you can take us through them all, but what I love about it is that the end goal of someone reading this book was to have a be a better version of themselves, that's fine. And lots of people write books like that. But what you've done is you've actually broken it down into a way that you can practically do it step by step, and then that comes at the end. As opposed to, I think you said before in the examples, like, get up out of bed and do the thing we believe. It's not Ireland's fittest families. You're not roaring and shouting at someone. Yeah. You're literally giving us tools to break it down. So take us through the five parts.
And thank you for saying that, because that was very important to me, because often, you know, people see me go, that's the one that shouts at people on the telly.
She's actually much nicer than that.
But yeah, you don't see everything that goes on behind the scenes. I'm actually quite nice to the families too. And it was about, actually, one of the greatest things that I learned when writing this book was about compassion.
Right.
And about how we all don't show enough compassion to ourselves. So when I was writing this, and I was sharing stories, and some of them were, they made me quite vulnerable. And especially I was recording the audio version of the book recently.
Yeah.
And the one thing about writing a book when you've just had a baby is that, you know, that brain fog that people talk about.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm pausing. I can't believe I put that story in the book. Oh, now I need to text that person and tell them that it's in it.
Yes, it's in there. Yeah,
but there was always a really good message or a reason. And like acceptance is the first section. Then it moves on to purpose, consistency, then challenge, and it finishes with kindness. I'm like full circle, because acceptance and kindness are two of the same thing.
Yeah.
And when I started to dissect my own life and what I've learned, whether it's from sport or from life experience or from career, these are areas of my life that I have leaned into, you know, the tools that I have learned and use myself that I've put in the book. It's there to help people navigate whatever they're going through. So it mightn't necessarily be, you know, grief or career worries or body image worries. It could be, you know, financial stresses or the fear of what people will think of them. Whatever it is, the tactics and the tools are quite universal. So you can use them in lots of different ways.
You can. And also what I think comes through as well is even the fact that you wrote the book is part of the story. As in, like, you had to be come through all the things you've come through to get to the point where you said, as you said, now was the right time. But also the fact that you're just saying yes to writing a book.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big, you're getting the critic out of the way to say, yes, I can sit down and write a book that I think will help people.
And there were so many times, so many sleepless nights where I was rewriting the book in my head. Mm. Yet, like you said, like worrying, would it be good enough? You know, catastrophizing, will anyone buy it? And thinking, no, hang on, you know, your family will buy it, even if no one else will. But really just wanting to make it the very best book it could be.
Yeah.
And then I had to pause and stop myself and say, hang on a second, it doesn't need to be the best book that's out there. it just needs to be a book that you know will help people.
Yeah.
And I had to get out of my own way. And I think a lot of us need to get out of our own way. And
that's,
you mentioned
a good
about saying
phrase.
Yes
yeah.
to things. How many of us say no to things? And it's not because we don't want to do it. It's because we're afraid it won't work out. Mm. We're afraid of making mistakes. We're afraid of judgment, what other people on social media will say. So this for me was, I would go as far as to say, the greatest thing that I've ever done in my professional career.
Wow.
Because it was such a challenge to do it. And I had to overcome the imposter syndrome, and I had to overcome feeling inadequate at times.
So that's saying, the acceptance part.
Yes.
The purpose then
is the book.
The yeah. consistency is actually
show up every
to
day
show up
and
do it. When you're 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, yeah. you're a brand new mum, you still have to show up and do it. Yeah. Then the challenge is actually putting it together. And
then the kindness is saying, wow, I did it.
You did it.
And actually acknowledging it, because how many of us, we have a goal and we work so hard to get there, and it might take us a little bit longer, and then we achieve the goal and say, okay, next.
Yeah.
And we don't actually allow ourselves go.
Yeah, dwell on it.
Well done me.
Yeah, yeah, it's so important, I think.
Yeah, it is. And it's like looking at it now, sometimes I just rub the cover and I just think to myself, oh my God, you did this. Like, this is your book.
Yeah.
And knowing that it can help somebody out there means that all of the sleepless nights and the tears at times were worth it. Like, that's my hope for it.
No doubt about it. Anna's Game Plan is the book. It is out in all good bookshops. Conquer your hang-ups, unlock your confidence, and find your purpose. 5 powerful tactics to be your best self. And as described there by Anna, you can understand why you absolutely need these in your life. So get your hands on the book. You've obviously done lots of other things in your life, and I want to talk about a few of those.
Yes.
Ireland's Fittest Families, Dancing with the Stars, you've been Rose Tralee, Loving the Country. There's so many TV projects you've done. What's the next thing we'll see you on?
Ooh.
Is Love in the Country coming back?
Love in the Country is currently casting.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, for series 2. And I've actually had a few people reach out to me. A lot of lads reach out to me in the last few days, just testing the waters, saying, I'm asking for a friend.
For a friend. And sorry, just before we go any further, explain what Love in the Country is, just in case somebody has tuned in and has gone, hang on, what's this?
So the concept of Love in the Country is ultimately about finding love in an ideal scenario. But it's also about, you know, rural Ireland and the challenges that people face to meet somebody, because you mightn't have a bustling nightlife down the road from where you live.
Yep.
And you might be,
or just bump into someone in the middle of Dublin City. You might bunch shoulders with someone and go, oh, and have one of those rom-com moments. If you're literally working on a farm from dawn to dusk and there's no houses within 5 miles of you, how's that going to happen?
And also, it's not, and like, it is farming, but also as well, it's other, let's say, businesses or reasons why you can't leave your locality.
Yep.
You know, so you could be the principal of a school, you could be a butcher, you could have a business there. And as you said, the only people that might be in your locality are people that you went to school with and that you sent a Valentine's card to when you were 6 or 7 years old. And, you know, you don't want to go on dates with them. So it is about pairing people up from a compatibility point of view. And obviously then there's the attraction that happens to you naturally. But I'm almost like a wing woman of sorts. So it's my job to help the love hopefuls to maybe go for somebody that they mightn't usually go for, or to make them stop and pause and say, well, actually, maybe I do like that person, or, you know, that my type on paper, you know, that,
totally.
That this is literally it. Because the concept is that you write a letter to somebody. So the love hopefuls put up a video, then you write a letter to them, telling them why you'd like to meet them. Then they all come, there's a speed dating, and then they'll pick the people they'd like to bring back to where they live.
Okay.
You spend a weekend with them, but everybody, all of the people that are chosen, spend the weekend at the same time. So you
that's
often
great.
See, you know, maybe love blossoming. You also see the claws out, and that's just from the lads. And it is, it's a brilliant way as well for people to feel less daunted by the idea of going on a date, because it's easy to spend time with somebody sometimes in a group setting too, and you get to relax a little bit, and you obviously get the one-on-one time too. But we are casting for it.
Well, and speaking of the casting, do you find that there's a gender imbalance in terms of who's applying?
Women are much more willing to put themselves forward.
Interesting.
I think, you know, last series got such brilliant praise for the authenticity of the people, you know, that they were raw and they were nervous and they weren't camera ready. And that's what made it brilliant, is they were real people, genuinely in it for the right reasons. Not just their 10 seconds of fame. They wanted to meet somebody. And there is, you know, we show you know, we show how things progress and it's great crack and you see the nervousness and the awkwardness that we've all experienced on dates.
Absolutely.
And even, you know, sometimes it's me getting the wink or the nod saying, wrap this up, you know, I'm done here.
I'm
that friend that you normally ask, ring me a half an hour into the date and if it's not going well, you
I'll
know,
answer,
I'll answer. Yeah. I'm that person. I'm just, you know, I'm there in the background all the time. And we are, I suppose, appealing to the men of Ireland as well to, you know, maybe this is your thing. Maybe this is what you say yes to in 2024, because you might find love, but what you will have either way is you'll make great, great memories. You know, you'll go on an adventure.
You'll have the crack,
but it's all different ages.
Yeah.
It's all different backgrounds.
Okay.
It's not a certain bracket. It could be anybody in their late teens all the way up to your 80s and beyond. You could have lots of different reasons for wanting to meet somebody.
And if somebody's listening this morning and they are motivated maybe to do this and go on, I'll give it a go, I presume they just Google Love in the Country and they'll find an email
address. And I'm pretty sure the email address is actually love@kiteentertainment.com. So drop them an email and they'll, you know, I suppose they'll guide you every step of the way. And the big thing with the show, why I love being involved, is that people are rooting for you.
Yeah.
They're not there to laugh at your expense.
No.
They're not there to laugh when you say you haven't been on a date in X amount of years. People actually want you to do well.
So
and I love that about it. And I'm a hopeless romantic, so I want everybody love everybody.
Are you watching Dancing with the Stars this year?
Of course I am. I'm glued. I was gutted that Davy Russell went out last night.
Everyone was surprised.
I only met him on Friday.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he's had the time of his life on the show. And he really... To me, he embraced what Dancing with the Stars is meant to be. He came into it and, as he said himself, it was an okay dancer, you know, but that was it. And suddenly he's sliding across the dance floor, you know, with the open shirt, just absolutely loving every moment. And that really came across. And I think it's going to be a cracker of a final.
Service.
It's very rare to only have one woman. Right?
Yes.
Normally it's more women than men in the final. So Laura Fox is, you know, is flying the flag. And I think it's been a brilliant series in the point of view that you've really seen people get better. And I know what it's like to stand in the corner of the dance floor, as they say, dancing the tango anagiri, and suddenly you think, I've forgotten all my steps.
Don't know anything.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You have to keep smiling and just go out there and pretend you know what you're doing.
Well, fair play to you and everybody else who does that show or anything like that. It's absolutely brilliant. Come here, before I let you go, a quick fire round. Ask everybody the same questions. What are you currently obsessed with? And we'll take your 7-month-old Ronan as red. We know he's your real major obsession. But is there anything to do with him or anything to do with yourself or an app or a TV show or a book? Or is there anything that you're currently obsessed with?
Drive to Survive.
Really?
Yeah.
Carl's delighted.
Yeah, I am.
That.
And I have to pace myself. So I'm only allowing myself to watch one episode at a time.
Okay.
Because otherwise there could be, you know, I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm feeding Ronan, so I may as well stay up.
So,
I'm only allowing myself one episode to prolong the brilliance of it. And I actually loved Formula One when I was really younger.
Okay.
So I was a big Michael Schumacher fan. They kind of, you know, I suppose like that, getting older and you start to get distracted. But Drive to Survive really brought me back into it. And I got Kev to sit down and watch it. And now he loves it.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Now we're saying, oh, you know what? When Ronan's a little bit older, when we can pawn him off on someone to mind him, we're definitely going over to the Formula One.
Definitely a brilliant idea. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. Davy Fitz would probably say Davy Fitz.
He definitely would. He definitely would. And he is pretty famous.
He is
right?
Pretty famous. Oh, God, I don't even know. I don't even know who's in my phone. Is that desperate? Now you're going to make me want to
you'll
go down
through
afterwards
and
be like,
go,
who is the most famous person in my phone?
I should have said Julia Roberts when I said Davy Fitz.
I'm going to lie and say, well, Cillian Murphy is actually in my phone,
well,
even though he's not.
A fellow Corkman, he would be surprised if he wasn't. Think back to when you were about 8 years old. What school were you in? So second class, this would have been, say.
Oh, yeah. So it was in Milford National School.
Milford National School. Did you bring a lunchbox to school?
I did.
What was in it?
What was in it? Oh, well, my ham, and if Mam was feeling fancy, ham and cheese sandwiches. And there was no crust cut off now because she didn't have time for that.
No, God.
Usually there was like maybe a penguin bar, maybe a Capri Sun if she was feeling a bit flush. and it was, I can still remember it, my lunchbox. It was a red lunchbox with a little bunny on it, and it was eating a carrot. And actually, I put up a picture for Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
My mom and I was holding it, and somebody said, you must have been rich to say you had that type of a lunchbox, because everyone else said they're stuffed into their bag. And I was like, really? I was like, really not. But I really liked my lunchbox anyway.
That's all that counts. And the final question I ask everybody, because I don't, is do you, Anagiri, wash your legs in the shower?
Yes. You have to exfoliate the tan off.
Okay, so
I don't look this colour all
obviously,
the time.
Obviously, we've had lots of people on the show who tan, right? So taking tanning and shaving and exfoliating out of the picture.
You know, this is bias here. Now you're trying to get me to say no.
You're nipping into the shower. Ronan's gone down for a 20-minute nap. Are you scrubbing the legs? If you are, you are. Fair enough. But maybe you're not.
Not every day. But right. I would like to think, you know, because I'm getting the squats in as well, you see, while I'm trying to. This is multi-purpose shower, you know. I don't have the time to exercise as much as I'd like to now. So I'm in the shower trying to, you know, exactly.
Fair.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that's okay. Yes,
just because I don't want people thinking that I don't.
No, that's fair. That's totally fair enough. Anna Geary's book, Anna's Game Plan, is out now in all good bookshops. Get it. I've read it. It is absolutely, genuinely, really brilliant. Anna, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me in,
Dave. Great to see you.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.